Chapter 6. Charlie Victor. I make it back to my hotel room without getting lost, falling asleep on my feet, or accidentally looking at the screensaver. I slump in the chair for a while, but there's nothing on TV except an adventure movie starring George Lazenby, and it'll take more than that to keep me awake. So I hang out the Do Not Disturb sign, undress, and go to bed. I fall asleep almost instantly, but it's not very restful because I'm in someone else's head, and I really don't want to be there. Last time this happened, the 50-something engineering salesman from Dusseldorf trapping off with a blonde call girl was just sad and a bit pathetic on the side. This time it feels dirty. I struggle to hold myself aside from his sense of self. Work out daily in a gym round the corner from the casino before I go into work. And it's not just pumping iron and running on a track. There's stuff I don't recognize, practice routines with odd twisting and punching and kicking motions, somatic memories of beating people up and the warm, sensual excitement that floods me when I stomp some fucking idiot for getting in my face. I've had a call from the customer, and I'm about ready to go off work and go looking for the merchandise he wants, when this blonde American princess comes out of the salle and, what do you know, but she's giving me a come-on. She's lost the rich nerd she showed up with and good riddance. Guess I'll have to take her home and that means... Yeah, she'll do. Two birds, one stone, so to speak. Or two stones, in my case. Mind you, she's a customer. I'll just have to be discreet. So I smile at her and make nicey-nice while she giggles. Then I offer to buy her a drink and she says, yes, and I tell her to meet me over the road at the Sunset Beach Bar so I can show her the town. She heads off, shaking her booty, and I go and get squared away. Time to do another line of Charlie in the John. Checking out, walking over the road, I get that thrill of arousal. I'm on top of the world again with cold fire coursing through my veins, like the time in the village near Bujumbura when Jacques and I caught that kid stealing, and we... The memory skids away from me as if it's made of grease, only an echo of the blood and shit smell of it, and the screams lingering in my ears. And I get the hot tension again, like lightning seeking a path to earth. Sex, that'll help. Long as she doesn't make a fuss. She's waiting for me on a bar stool, legs crossed and face hopeful. Plump cheeks, lips like throttled. I let my face smile at her and order her a drink and make chit-chat. She smiles sympathetically and asks me questions, trying to find out if I have... Hey! She's worried I might have a regular girlfriend, the stupid cunt. So I explain that no, my Eloise died in a car crash 2 years ago and I have been mourning since. She's so stupid she laps it up, asks me lots of questions and sounds concerned. I figure I'll drop her off with a rich guy's pilot at Aunt Marcel tomorrow. But first we'll have some fun together. I act coy but let her draw me out because half the bitches want to be fucked hard by a stranger. They just have to convince themselves he's sensitive and caring at first to get over their inhibitions. After a while she looks at me slack-mouthed like she's already dripping, and I figure it's time. So I ask if she wants to come back to my place, and she accepts. We walk. It's only 3 blocks, and she doesn't bat an eyelid at the rubbish and the locked shutters. I show her upstairs and unlock the door, and when I turn back to pull her inside, she actually gropes me. Normally, they get cold at this point and start making excuses, but this is going really smooth. I'm hard, of course, and when she kisses me, I get an arm round her and start hiking up her skirt. The Rohypnol's in the fridge, and it'd be more sensible to slip it to her first, then add a gesh on top for safety's sake. But what the hell, she seems willing enough. This one really does seem to want a rough fuck. Shame for her, she doesn't know about the customer. But those are the breaks. I pick her up and carry her inside, kick the door shut, then dump her on the bed and jump her. And the funny thing is, she lets me. She doesn't fight. And my heart is in my mouth, pounding away between her legs. Wet meat, warm meat. It's like she doesn't even know the father says it's wrong to do this, beat my meat. It's not ever this easy, and I can't let her talk afterwards, even though she's biting my shoulder and sucking me, and oh, Father, my chest hurts.